down. Why do we do all this? It's quite a production. If you've never been involved at this level, you don't know what kind of production it is. I'm sure Tony's going, "Phew, I made it." Why do we do any of this? Yesterday I was in West Branch meeting our oldest son, and last evening we were at Pease Auditorium at Eastern Michigan University listening to our daughter-in-law's concert. Why do we run around? Why do we buy extra food? Why do we buy extra packages? I believe we own some shares in Amazon. Perhaps you do too. They show up multiple times a day, and things crop up, and we're kind of changing our schedule to make sure packages aren't left too long outside on the porch in case they might get ruined by moisture or porch pirates or whatever. Why do we do this? You may have come here today because you wanted to see your child, grandchild, some family member or church family member in a program. You may have come out of habit because this is what we do at this time of year. There's lots of reasons why we come. All of the readings point in the same direction. It's about Jesus, but I want to kind of frame this, not this day, this season that we call Advent, the coming of the Christ child, but it's really way more than that. If it is only about a special time of year, we're missing the best of it. And so if you have a handout, we're going to look at why we do this, really. What is this all about, and what difference might it make in our lives? So we have been in a series where we've been talking about things that are necessary to be broken in order for them to be fixed. We've talked about how we love that Jesus came to fix things, to set some things right, not everything. This world is going to be destroyed, and we're going to have a new one, because this is just not totally fixable, but he's come to restore things in us and with him. And so we talked in week one about breaking the silence. There were 400 years where God did not communicate to his people before Jesus was born. And because the silence was broken, week two we talked about barriers that keep us from hearing the voice of God. And last week we talked about the chains of sin. And when we wrap up this, you'll be able to find all four of those. If you're interested, at lfmchurch.net, Recent Connections will have all four of those. You can either watch the video, listen to the audio, and download a handout if that's valuable to you. And so our last broken thing in this Advent candle of love, as we've celebrated those themes, is that God came to break the isolation. Because if you think about it, no matter how fast your internet speed is and how many social media platforms you belong to, we still have a growing sense of isolation. Studies show this. We often feel alone. And God did not intend for us to be alone. He didn't create for us to be alone. He's not called Father for nothing. It's a relationship thing. And so he came to break isolation so we could indeed drop our chains of sin through Christ in his blood, tear down the barriers that keep us from hearing him, and hear what he has to say to us. He has plenty to say, and it's not what you think. Stop. No. Those are byproducts of him calling to us in love to come and follow him, and they're good when they're in that context. So if you have your handout this morning, number one, God's intention. God's intention, we know from Scripture, was fully in place before Adam and Eve rebelled against God, because he knows everything and knew what would happen to the people he gave free will to, and we are among those people. But his intention, stated many ways in the Word, but for our purposes this morning, from Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." I mean, do you feel that? That's what he wanted. Not subjects to rule over, but people to be in relationship with. At the deepest levels, can't really express it in a short verse like this. And the world is messed up and led to the things that needed to be broken, the silence, the barriers, the chains, the isolation, and many more things we could list if we took the time to do that. And if we had a call-out session, you could tell me how it's personal to you if you were brave enough. So God found in us people who were separated by choice and unable to do anything about it. But he did something about it. The only one who could. So number two in your handout is God's intrusion. He intruded into our world. And I say that not because God did something that we didn't want him to do, but he intruded because we were unable to know we needed him to be in us, with us, around us, to call us back to him. And so in a sense, there was an intrusion. You've heard perhaps the old statement that the Holy Spirit or God is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way upon you. You must choose. And that's part of coming into relationship with Jesus. You do have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to accept the sacrifice for my sins that you gave on the cross. I'm going to repent. But he does intrude in that we could not do anything about it. He had to intrude. Perhaps you've heard a portion of this scripture today. If you join us Wednesday evening at 6, you'll hear this again. That's one of the beauties of this season, too, is we get to relive those stories of that first birth and the most magnificent moment in history. From Luke chapter 1, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." It's interesting. This intrusion is nothing like we would have planned it. Had we been able to know enough to know we needed to plan it, which of course we couldn't do, we would have perhaps selected a public place and a proclamation. I think of medieval times and the long, you know, trumpet players before the king came in, and we'd have something grand. But God knew we needed something small because of who we were, and he had to become one of us. There's more if you want to listen to last week's sermon about that. And so he intruded in this most unusual way. No other system of belief has this kind of God linked with mankind. It's unique among all the rest. So he had an intention right from the beginning. I'm going to make us one again. We're going to come together again. I will be their God and they will be my people. And he intruded in this humble and necessary fashion so that he could walk as a human being while still being fully God. Number three, God's conclusion. There's a three parts to this, an A, B, and C. A, with. That's proximity. In this holiday season, one of the things that is difficult, my two sons live up in Sheboygan and Onaway. Diana has a son in New York City and in Ann Arbor. So you know the ones we see most are the Ann Arbor ones. They're the closest. We don't have proximity to one another. We're not near. We have to plan, and it takes something. And, you know, there's something about a relationship that suffers a little bit when you can't be around them all the time. Now, maybe you're not wired that way, but I am. If I haven't seen anybody, even my son, who, like, it'd be good if one of us was a sterling conversationalist. Like, I can have a great conversation if we have something we're talking about on purpose. But when it comes to small talk, it's like, and my son's, he's not a small talker either. And when I'm away from him for several weeks, or for him several months, he's the one I don't know, I kind of both see both of them not so much. I get a little nervous when we come together. What have I missed, or what'll I forget? And we were separated from God. So in his conclusion, that is, drawing his intention into fullness, he gives us proximity. In the Christmas story, Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Proximity. There's no separation. He's here. Now, our big secret we know is that he always was here, but he couldn't be here in the personal sense we needed him until he came to be one of us and break some of those barriers we've already talked about. Proximity is good. That's an improvement, right, from estrangement. But that's not all. B, we are united. We're in partnership. Not just proximity, but partnership. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That's the version I chose because it uses those words. You see at the beginning, it calls us back to the candle of love we lit at the beginning of the service. He loved us so much, he just didn't want proximity. You can be near me. It's sort of like the uncle at the Thanksgiving table. He's there because he's family, but you don't really want to have much of a conversation with him. That's not God. He is in proximity to us, but he's also in partnership. We are united. And the amazing thing is that in our imperfection, we get to be in ministry with him. He calls us with whatever gifts we have, and none of them are perfect. The experiences we've had, and they're flawed too, because we're flawed. And he says, you're part of the mission. You're part of the ministry. We're partners in this to make sure that people who are in the darkness of a world who don't know the barriers are broken, they don't know the silence has been broken, they don't know the chains of sin have been broken, or indeed if they even have a chain of sin, and it is our partnership with Christ that compels us, or should, to go out and tell other people about Jesus. So proximity is awesome. Partnership is a little more awesomer. My English teacher wife, she's shaking her head. That's not in my notes, by the way. I thought it would be a good idea to say that. But see, it's always. There's permanence. It's not just a highlight. It's not just the trip to Disney. And then it's over and you have to live on the memories. Or that the good thing that happened and then the other shoe dropped. We're always waiting for that other shoe to drop, aren't we? And that kind of erases the great joy we had at some event. It's always, there's a permanence to it. Jesus said before he left in body, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we know it goes even farther than that, but our trouble is here. If we're with him here, our with him in eternity is guaranteed. No entrance exam if we're with him here. United with him, fulfilling his original intention as he created Adam and Eve to have communion and fellowship, no shame, no sin. And he saw this to completion, and this event that we celebrate every year sealed it. Many think, no, it's the resurrection. No, he had to become one of us first, or the resurrection wouldn't have the meaning it does for us to pay the penalty for our sin. So you're running around hither and thither and yon. You're going to family gatherings and stores, and you're coming to church, and who knows what else you're doing because it's this time of year. Perhaps what you do for work has pressed you into a more full service and added hours, and that might even seem a burden. Why do we do this all? Because God loves us, and he wants us to be free from the shackles of this world. So my question is, are you walking with Jesus so that you are free today? To do that, you don't have to understand everything. I've been doing this a long time, and I don't understand everything, but I understand this one thing. He loves me so much that he squeezed God in a human body and became fully man and retained his godly holiness, fully God, and took my sins upon him. And all you have to do to make that transition is to say, I accept who you are, I accept what you've done, and I reject who I am in sin. And he comes in and washes over you and begins a brand new walk that is not perfect, by the way. Things will go wrong at Christmas and other times, but he walks with us in proximity, partnership, and permanence all this life. If you haven't done that, I invite you to do that today. Many of you, I suppose, have already done that. I suggest you renew that relationship. Not just do the good things you're doing, reading your Bible, that's a good thing. Asking him what it means and trying to figure that out as he reveals. Being in fellowship with one another, we talk about that all the time here. We are nothing without the family of God because he designed us to be in the family of God. But by coming to him specifically in this season and not just saying, oh, look at the clean, cute little manger scene, but what you have done for me because you desired to be with me, to be in partnership with me forever, not only this life, but forever. Take a moment at some point in this holiday and renew that relationship with him and walk in wonder. We have just a few days left in the appointed season of Advent or Christmas. Don't waste it in only the celebrations of watching your child or grandchild in a program or opening gifts or having great food or whatever you go to special events. But in coming to the reason why we have this in the first place, maybe you'll even come to the conclusion that something else has to go in your observance of this season so you don't miss the most special reason why this time is special to us. So I think I will pray now, but we're not done here, so don't get up and go away just yet. I want to give you some time to do business with the Lord. And as always, if God leads you to something, a decision to follow him, or a renewal, or something you need to deal with, don't only do it between you and him. Find another believer and tell them and be in prayer and community. And you folks who are watching online, you do that too, and I would suggest you use the Connect card I talked about earlier on our website to let us know that God is working in your life too. So let's bow our heads and come before the Lord. Lord, thank you for what you do in the silence. Thank you that there were no barriers for you doing what you know we needed to do. Thank you that whether we waffle in our following of you or even coming to you or even walk away from you on purpose, this love that compelled you to come and rescue us does not diminish. So there is no shame for us to turn and say, Father, I'm with you. I follow you. And Lord, you know where we are living. You know the crises we came into the door with that perhaps no one knows about, or only a few. And you have the answer for each one, and it comes right back to you fulfilling your intention to be our God and for us to be your people. So, please be personal with us this morning, in this building, online, somebody who watches or listens later. Speak, since the silence is broken. Show us the barriers that we can bring to you to have you tear down. Help us to receive the broken chains off of us so that sin is not our master anymore, but we can call you master and walk with you and learn about you and follow you, and help us to not be isolated. You are our God. We are your people, and we are one another's people under you. May you draw us in this season in unity into your presence. And Father, help us to go to someone else to share not only a step I needed to take perhaps to get rid of something negative, but to rejoice at the positive things you are doing. Oh, how we need to praise you in these dark times in the world, because you are the light. So move us, we pray, and continue in our celebration of this season, that you might get the glory and that people might find who you are and fall at your feet in Jesus' name. Amen.